countrywide on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Caller Gas, celebrating 80 years, bringing energy to Ireland's homes and businesses.
And I'm joined here in studio now by Sharon McGuinness, who's the CEO of the Health and Safety Authority. Sharon, good morning to you. It's interesting, during the ad break there, one of your ads there reminding us of the dangers of farming, and that's what we're going to chat to you about, because we're at this time of the year now, we were talking about it earlier on, silage making, lots of machinery, you know, particularly with children on holidays and so on and so forth. It remains a very, very dangerous workplace. You hate putting numbers on these things, but it is a way of actually, I suppose, highlighting just how dangerous farms are. How many accidents do we have on farms compared to other sectors?
Farming, good morning, Damien. And farming, as you say, is one of the more high-risk, serious sectors we have at the present time in regarding workplace fatalities. Farming, this year alone, is over 50% of our fatalities already, and that shows how significant it is. And this is for a sector that has only got 6% of the working population.
Right. I suppose that as we all get older, Sharon, we become more vulnerable. I suppose a lot of younger people as well think they're invincible, but as we get older, we become more vulnerable. And a lot of us retire in our mid-60s. We have to, or that's the way it is. Doesn't happen in obviously businesses that are family-run, but particularly in farming. And the age profile of farms as well, is that contributing? Are farmers more vulnerable to accidents and fatalities, obviously, as they get older and working with animals and machinery?
There are a number of factors why perhaps we're seeing such high rates of farming fatalities, and one of them is obviously the age factor. And when you do look back at statistics, and I don't like to talk about numbers, and remember all of these are individuals and family members, so you see that realistically in the last 10 years we have 35% of all farmers over 65. That's the numbers we're looking at. Mm. We've seen farmers, you know, looking in their 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s and even 90s being killed on farms. Yeah. So it is a challenge for them, for the farmer and for us as to how we can ensure that they continue to work, but work safely.
But do you think there should be some age restriction? There should be more of an incentive there for farmers to retire earlier?
Well, look, I mean, we're not in the business of telling people to stop working. I mean, I think that's the one thing we try and work with people to help them work as safely and healthily as possible. So that's our first point. But we have to ask the question, should they be doing the same thing that they did at 30 as they're doing at 65 or 70? And realistically, that's a conversation I think farmers have to look at. And at the end of the day, it is really up to the farmer themselves who's on the farm to know their own risks, to be aware of it and to plan accordingly.
And the farm, you know, the workplace and the home place are the same place. Is that an issue as well?
Look, yes, obviously it's a factor in it, because you have a very fine line between somebody walking out of their house and into their workplace. But, you know, we would say, look, you have to look at it as two separate places. The home is where you live and your family are, and the farm is where you work. And I think that mindset and that behaviour then, that change as you step over that boundary, invisible as it may seem, is really important. Yeah. And we're urging farmers to make that separation very clear.
And for a lot of other people as well, they work 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, they have a certain amount of days off during the year, they don't work bank holidays, so on and so forth. That doesn't always necessarily apply on farms as well, where farmers are working the job maybe of two people because they can't afford a second unit, and they're working to beat the weather as well. Is that sort of pressure you know, increasing the risks around farms as well?
There are, as you said, several different types of pressure that are on farmers that might be unique to farmers in particular. But our view is that, look, the whole point of us working with farmers and talking to farmers is to make them able to work safely and healthily. Mm. So we're asking them to plan as much as they can in advance. Be aware of the risks that are on their farm, because at the end of the day, they're the ones working on the farm. They should be able to see the risks. Don't presume the way you've always done the job is the safest way either. And do simple things like keeping maintenance, getting maybe gates in play if you're going to have calving going on, you know, and pre-plan your maintenance work so that you don't arrive at a large piece of machinery with a faulty brake when you most need it.
And when one of your inspectors arrives on a farm, do they get the rolled eye treatment? Because you're doing your job and you're trying to make it safe for them. The last thing they need is inspectors. It's the same, I suppose, with any business. They don't, they don't like inspectors coming in, busybodies, sort of that attitude. But having said that, Sharon, I've attended a lot of conferences over the years, and I met you at one recently about farm safety. Farmers don't go to these events. You know, if they're going to take time off to go to a meeting, it's a meeting where they might learn about how they can improve profitability, or they might go to a machinery show. But they're not inclined to go along and sit for a day and listen to you talking about how their farms can become safer. Is that complacency there that, sure, it'll never happen to me?
I suppose in a way there's that element of complacency in us all. And I think farmers, as I said, have worked and lived and operated on their farm, in their view, safely for many years. But in reality, we are seeing the statistics that show that there are serious issues on farms at the present time. So while we don't expect people to show up at a conference, you know, because we know everybody's busy, we have a huge amount of range of advice, education materials, and, you know, we're always there if people want to contact us, if they have particular queries. We work with all the farming organisations, with colleagues in Chagas, Department of Ag, you know, the and those and the IFA and others, to ensure that the message is brought down to farmers on the ground.
Yeah. Now, and you're speaking, Sharon, as somebody who grew up on a farm, and I suppose you probably think back and wince at some of the shortcuts you probably took when you were younger and saw on farms as well. Has farming, you know, has it changed? Have attitudes changed? Because now, to be a farmer, you have to be educated. I don't mean that in a bad way. There's no such thing as just, you know, leaving school at 14 and taking over the farm, which was the generation before us. Do you think better education now and young people going to college and learning more about the mechanics of farming and introducing more technology onto the farms is helping?
I think it is helping, and it will help, because ultimately you have to, I think farmers have to look at farming not just as a lifestyle choice, but also as a profession. And in that way, training and education is going to be incredibly important. We do a lot at primary, secondary level, and obviously then at the colleges there's a huge amount of training. And younger farmers, when you speak to them, are very keen on the issue of education and training. There isn't mandatory training, I should say, in farming, but there's plenty of training out there that if farmers...
Should it be mandatory?
Look, you know, yes, you could have that question and we could ask that question, and yes, it can help. But I think at the moment we would feel that, look, we're providing a lot of efforts and opportunities for everybody in farming. So we'd urge people to use it. So if you're buying a new machine or a tractor or a quad bike, you know, learn how to work it, learn how to use it properly and safely, and follow the instructions.
Yeah.
You know, don't take it home and then presume it's okay to do whatever I feel like on the day. And this is the thing, it's about that mindset and change. When you put on your boots in the morning, you walk across that boundary over into the farm, you're not bringing old habits, because those old habits are getting people killed, unfortunately. When we inspect, and we do inspect, and a lot of our inspections are advisory in nature, farmers are extremely open to hearing the advice. They're extremely willing.
That's good to hear, yeah.
Yeah, no, they're extremely willing, and they're engaged with us, and they appreciate, the, I suppose, what we're trying to do. But it's really getting them then to keep that work going in their own farm when we leave, or when nobody's looking over their shoulder. That's the critical behavioural piece.
So I suppose what you're saying is we're there to work with you, not to look down at you or judge or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, as a regulator in this space, we need to work with everybody. Right. We know collaboration is the key to making the difference in the longer term.
Yeah. Just a final point to you. Have the number of inspections gone down, did I read, Sharon? The number of inspections on farm, and why is that?
Well, I suppose when we look at work in any sector in relation to trying to reduce fatalities or accidents or injuries, we're always looking at a range of measures, and that includes inspection. That's just one part of it, but we also do things like education, providing guidance and that. So our inspections numbers are very much predicated on what's going to work best for any particular sector. So the numbers in and of themselves don't always give the whole picture. So we don't like to kind of focus on the number, because it's really about the quality and the effectiveness of those particular inspections that we're more concerned with.
Sharon, I was telling you a few weeks ago, I had an accident last summer. I tripped. Mm-hmm. It happened in a split second, smashed my arm, out of work for 10 weeks. Could I have avoided that if I turn back the clock? The answer is yes. There's always a reason why these accidents actually happen. So, you know, had I stood back and maybe decided not to try and beat the cyclist across the street and just wait and cross when the light went green, I mightn't have had it. And that's so accidents, they can be avoided. And we must always remember as well the families that are left behind, people grieving, including this week, and you know, our sympathy to everybody who's lost a loved one in a farm accident this year. I'm going to leave you there now, Sharon. You can go off and count the votes with your older sister, Mairead, who is anxiously with all the other candidates around the country waiting on the European election results. But Sharon McGuinness, CEO of the Health and Safety Authority, thank you very much indeed for joining us.